Welcome one and all to the holiday week here at the Damage Report with me, John Iadarola, and Francesca Fiorentini. As always, Francesca, how's it going?
Very, very, very good. Vamos Argentina, Argentina campeón del mundo. At me if you have any other thoughts about the World Cup and how it's not perfect for you and how it's corrupt. Don't politicize this moment. La 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 la. Please enjoy joy, folks.
Yeah.
Tis a game.
Well, no, I know that you must be super excited, and I think that that is great. I think it's great that you can, you know, be excited considering how many lives were lost to build those. No, anyway, it's great news. Obviously,
that's that part of the excitement.
No, I'm just kidding. But yes, I experienced it vaguely via people's tweets. I was doing other stuff, but I heard that it was exciting, and that's awesome.
I'm sure.
If I'd watched it, I would have found it exciting too. So congratulations to Argentina and its many fans.
Yes, so many fans. Yeah, John, I logged on and John was like, so Argentina won the whole thing?
I was pretty sure. I don't know, like it said it was the finals, but you know, every word means something different with soccer, so.
Like the World Series in baseball, but it's just the United States. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe there's a runoff. Maybe something comes out of the round robin where now it's, I don't know. I don't have a whole thing to put the strings. I don't know.
No, this is not like the Electoral College. The person with the most goals does win.
Okay, well that is definitely stop the goals. Stop the goals.
That's
which is actually kind of what they chant.
It's kind of how it ended, like stop the penalties. Once we win, like if it was Trumpy and they'd be like, well, we made a penalty, we win. It's like, no, that's not how it works, actually. Yeah. You gotta keep going.
No, he would be bragging about getting like three goals and then losing after winning with two goals last time. That's what he would be bragging about. Anyway, I am, sometimes I like to poo-poo on things that I'm not a fan of. I have no, like I would have watched it if I'd been there, it would have been cool. I mean, it would have been soured by the fact that Elon Musk was there, but other than that, it would have been cool. So
if I had been placed in Qatar, I would have turned my eyeballs toward the World Cup final with the best players in the world.
Ever.
Anyway. Sure, that might have happened. Yeah, you weren't on Elon's jet, John, so.
I wasn't. I was just tracking it from afar.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we have more that we're gonna be saying about Elon Musk in just a little bit. I think you probably expect that as soon as my Google Docs catches up. But we have a lot of other news we're gonna be talking about as well. As we speak right now, there's this demonstration, this final showing from the January 6th committee. So we think we know what they're gonna do. We will see if, as I am telling you that, they will contradict me. We'll find out together. But we've also got other important news, including the possibility of Puerto Rican independence, statehood, association, all that. We'll talk about that. We've got an update on the dismal state of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And Carrie Lake has a big issue with some evil bastards, and she's gonna do something about it. We've got a live interview gonna be doing in the last half hour, and I found out, and maybe some of you will find out, about the Christian Bible Bee. I had never seen this before. It's something, so stay tuned for that. And if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button and sharing the stream in anticipation of that, that would be great. And you can send either Francesco or myself comments, tweets, super chats, all that, and we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, are you ready to start this match?
Yes, vamos.
Okay, let's do it. I understand that. Because I've been studying. Anyway, we'll do some more quizzing later on. Anyway, let's jump into this. Elon Musk was on his usual BS throughout the weekend, doing just a whole lot of ridiculous stuff. Some of it just sort of sad and pathetic, like when he was super happy that he had Twitter strip away the ability to tell what device a tweet had come from. He said, hallelujah. And everyone seems to think it's because he had been a couple weeks ago going off on how Apple sucked, and every single one of those tweets was tagged with from his iPhone. Other than that, there's no reason, like I'm not saying it should or should not say what device it comes from, but I don't understand the excitement other than that he got owned. Anyway, some of it more substantive, like for instance, he banned and then had to quickly unban Taylor Lorenz of the Washington Post because she doxed someone, even though she didn't. And even the thing that he was claiming was doxing was from months and months ago, before his new policy, before he was even the owner. And that wasn't the real reason anyway. She reached out to him for comment on this story, which is now available, where she looked into this stalker that we had this incident a few days ago. It apparently had nothing to do with the Elon jet. She reached out for word from him and was almost instantaneously banned. He came up with this pretext of doxing. So this is who he is. Again, a guy who despises transparency, despises speech, never forget it. But that wasn't really the most embarrassing thing. I think this probably qualifies. They changed their policy on people being able to literally acknowledge the existence of other social media platforms, saying that you will now be prohibited from linking to your accounts on Facebook, Instagram, Mastodon, Truth Social, Tribble, Post and Noster, as well as things like Linktree, which is just an aggregate, it's like a social media aggregation platform. You'll notice instantly that some stuff is not on there. So some of it seems fine, like they're not banning Reddit or whatever, but you'll notice they're not banning Substack. They're not banning Rumble. They're not banning the ones that a lot of right wingers like to use and that theoretically he makes money from. That you can still do. TikTok, I guess, would instantly cause a problem with the libs of TikTok who were violating that policy in other ways. They had a link tree in their biography as well. And no OnlyFans either. I think the 5 minutes a day that he doesn't spend on Twitter is probably spent on there. And so he has a soft spot in his heart for it. But anyway, he argued that this made sense, this policy change, because Twitter should be easy to use, but no more relentless free advertising of competitors. No traditional publisher allows this, and neither will Twitter. In my experience, the New York Times does not deny that the Washington Post exists, actually. And they sometimes will talk about things broken by the Washington Post. I don't even know what point he's trying to make there, but it is embarrassing. Because as even he acknowledged back in June before buying Twitter, the acid test for any two competing socioeconomic systems is which side needs to build a wall to keep people from escaping. That's the bad one.
God.
Well, he tried to make this wall because even though he keeps saying that Twitter's bigger than ever, apparently he doesn't want people knowing that Post or Mastodon exist. They're tiny, they're flies, but they're so flyish that they need to be banned from being acknowledged. You know, just normal free speech stuff, Francesca.
What a business leader, what an entrepreneur. What, I mean, he is utterly disrupting the tech and business world. The guy's not smart. When are we gonna understand he's not smart? He doesn't make good investments and he surely does not know how to run a business. He doesn't know how to make this better. Let me put it into a different context for you. Imagine you buy Macy's. You guys remember Macy's? It's there. It's still sad. It gets sadder and sadder every single year, but you go there because they've got some cheap jeans and you need a last minute gift. That's what Macy's is for. Imagine buying Macy's for a kajillion dollars and then being like, ooh, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna change the red star to a purple star. Boom. And you're like, this solves nothing. And actually Macy's was kind of doing okay on its own. That's exactly what Elon Musk is doing. So the idea that it's like, oh, it took away that we tweeted this from my Android. Like, slow clap. Oh my God, who cares? Yeah. But the real thing is the doxing. And again, this is what the right, and Elon is part of the right. He is another troll king like Trump. This is what the right loves to do. Doxing has traditionally been used against who? LGBTQ plus people, right? Swatting of, I don't know, trans Twitch streamers, outing black officials, elected officials, women of color, like whomever it is, it's always those who are marginalized in real life as well. But then the right takes that word and they're like, ooh, I like this because it feels like aggrievement politics. And I don't really know what that means because I don't understand structural racism or power. And I have all the power. This is what it feels like to be disempowered. Ooh, I'm gonna use that word and apply it to me. And Taylor Lorenz, good on her for doing that research to be like, okay, he's claiming there's a connection between his stalker and the flights, right?
Because Elon Jet said that his jet was in this city. So obviously, if anyone interacts with him in that city, it's because they knew it was where he lives. Like,
right.
It's not like they randomly followed him in Sheboygan. It was a major city. It doesn't make any Sheboygan. Sense. It doesn't make literally Shout any out. Sense. But there's other parts of it that are maybe even arguably more hilarious. When it was initially announced that you could no longer link to little things like Facebook on Twitter, the platforms responded. Facebook put up this, and look, I'm not a fan of Facebook, but that's kind of funny. I do like that. And then Tumblr just tweeted, oh. I believe YouTube tweeted, just touch grass, which I sort of get. But look, all of this is ridiculous and embarrassing. And like everything else that Elon Musk has done since he's taken over, none of it is based on trying to figure out what Twitter users want or need, the changes they want or need, what prospective people who don't use it want or need. Every single decision, from the merely mediocre to the so embarrassing he needs to instantly change course, comes about from one thing: his own personal experience. What he wants. So if he wants something like Taylor Lorenz being banned or other people being banned, he'll make up an entirely new doxing policy just to justify it. He'll make up stories about stalkers just to justify it. Sometimes it's things like getting rid of the acknowledgement of what device it came from. Sometimes it's just, I don't like that people are going to post, so I'm gonna literally ban any acknowledgement of other platforms. And look, a lot of the time, these wild knee-jerk changes that he makes, that if they had even been considered under the previous management, would have had teams considering the ramifications, running trials. There is a reason that those things were done. Most of the time, the right has to pretend that they like these changes, whether they do or not, and that making those changes is consistent with some sort of obsession with free speech, even though it's not. In some cases, though, they will very mildly push back and try to get him to see reason by explaining very basic concepts to him. So this account, The Quartering, which I hear makes videos about like women being in movies and it makes them mad or something. I don't know. I don't know who they are and I don't care. Tweeted, hey, Elon Musk, I get accounts whose sole purpose is to promote other accounts. That's not a thing. Nobody does that. Being forbidden, but telling people they can't link out to their Instagram is way too far. The same goes for Linktree. I use mine to link to my website, my coffee biz, not to compete with Twitter. To which Elon Musk instantly replied, because if you are a right winger, you will get instant replies from the richest man in the world. Okay, that seems reasonable. Which, by the way, it does. Whoever The Quartering is, that is reasonable. It's also the most obvious thing in the world. That's why people link to these other things. Why did a genius need to have this explained to him?
Yeah.
And he initially fought back against the criticism by doing another one of his polls. So he put up a poll. Should we have a policy preventing the blah, blah, blah? And it was 86.9% no, because nobody actually wants that. Nobody was calling for it, but he makes the change regardless.
It's so ad hoc and it's so sad. He has no idea what he's doing. But I just want to say, in terms of this, two points. One, free speech warriors usually come along with free market warriors. Elon Musk, he's just a self-made free market guy, and he took advantage of business opportunities. Da, 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 da. No, this is a perfect encapsulation of what billionaires do and how they gain their wealth. They take control over a company and they completely edge out competition. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's saying basically, you cannot promote any other platform on this platform, right? I mean, it's monopoly like behavior, except he's not really in a position. Twitter is not, it's not Apple, it's not Google, right? It's Twitter. But it is an encapsulation of like, wait, I thought you believed in like the free exchange of ideas, free markets, free minds, etc. Oh no, you cannot advertise any other platforms on this platform. Yeah. That seems incredibly regulatory, right?
Yeah.
Then the other part of this is Facebook does this all the time, y'all. Google does this all the time. The only difference is they're not stupid enough to put it out as a poll. They just change the algorithm. Do you guys remember when Facebook rolled out its video back in 2013? I do. It demoted any YouTube link that was posted on Facebook. In fact, it still does. If you post a YouTube link onto Facebook, Meta or Facebook will demote that post. It does not like it because it wants you to stay on the platform, use natively uploaded videos. Happens all the time. I don't think it's right. I don't like that. But like, there's a way to go about it. It's called messing with the algorithm, and every tech overlord does it.
Yeah. Well, and there's one other difference between those two approaches. So one is at least in theory more in line with loving free speech or something, like literally banning people for posting. And come on, how could you possibly think that he gives a damn about free speech after that? But the other thing is, he doesn't just want to stop those posts. He wants an arbitrary basis for banning whoever he wants. That's what right. he wants. So you could be banned for putting those posts up. Now, not everyone will be. Obviously, Libs of TikTok, which had a link tree, is not banned, was never going to be banned. But having this sort of policy allows him to say, that's why I banned someone. It wasn't because I disagree with them politically. It was because they acknowledged that they had a Nostra account. What? I literally don't even know what that is. But isn't it weird which ones were listed and which were not? Truth Social gets on there. Who is really trying to send people to their Truth Social? No, it's because Trump didn't come over to Twitter once Elon Musk brought him back on. Post and Mastodon, which again, very few people use, are there because people are needling him with it. That's why, not because exactly. people are constantly advertising. It's all personal.
Or that and it represents like so any kind of a threat, John. Like, it's not a threat.
It's not again. An actual threat, but it's being presented as one, and he is a tiny little baby. And so he'll respond the way that he does. In any event, they reversed it as they do so many of his things because he never thinks about or doesn't have the capacity to understand how his changes will be interpreted or received. And so now it's only if the account's primary purpose is to promote competitors, which I guess means that he's going to ban the literal, well, the post Twitter account is banned, but I guess he'll maintain that. No regular person was just using their thing to promote their whatever. Although again, that could be used as the pretext to ban people. He'll just say that that's what they were doing, whether they were or not. Anyway, I want to move on to one other topic, because as embarrassing as all of these changes were, Elon Musk decided to do just one of the saddest things I've seen in a long time. His fifis had gotten hurt because people didn't like his banning of Taylor Lorenz or his banning posting to Instagram. So anyway, he decided to put up another one of his polls. Should I step down as head of Twitter? I will abide by the results of this poll. And I'm sure he thought that all the right wingers who absolutely love him and have flooded Twitter would save him, or the bots would. But in this case, they did not. It wasn't close. He lost 57.5 to 42.5. And look, personally, I feel like, I want you to acknowledge one important thing for this story and for others. He is never posting a poll where he hasn't already figured out what he's going to do. He doesn't give a damn what the results are. He's already figured it out. So we can make him lose a poll like this to hurt his feelings, make him look bad, and because it's funny, and all those things are true, and I'm glad that he lost for that reason, but not because it's going to change his behavior. That's not how any of this works. Now, he did post, those who want power are the ones who least deserve it. I think perfectly summing up the experience of him being in charge of these companies. But no, the idea clearly is that he's getting too much flack for being in charge and making these horrible decisions and being terrible as a manager. Tesla has lost more than half of its value so far this year, and that is a problem for him. So what he's clearly gonna do is step down from being formally in charge of it. He's gonna put some other right-wing weirdo in charge, and the right-wing weirdo will get 10 text messages a day from Elon Musk saying, change this fundamental part of the platform because I say so. And that's what it's going to be. He's not going to be in charge, except that he's going to be very much in charge.
Who wants that job? I think that's exactly what's going to happen. It's not going to be someone. I mean, I don't know what. Oh God, this is like dumb succession. You know what I mean? Like, how many seats on the board does he have? Who are those people? Are they just like the first 10 people to reply to his tweets or like lol at his dumb jokes? I don't know who's in charge. I mean. Again, I am still of two minds because Twitter is a very important communication tool between all kinds of people. And yes, it's been way worse since Elon has taken control. Since he's been at the helm, like the amount of trolls, the amount of like awful, just like randos in my mentions. Like honestly, I've been on Twitter for a while and I've been relatively and surprisingly saved from like some of the worst of Twitter, but not in the last like month. The last month has been bad. It's been a lot of muting and a lot of blocking. And I'm like, why am I even here? I barely even tweet anyway. Yeah. But yeah, so I am like, there's part of me that still is like, maybe someone competent will be at the helm. But I think you're right. It'll be someone, because at the end of the day, they're responding to him. And unless the board can have a little bit more control, and again, I'm not so clear on exactly what the makeup is.
Yeah. I also had avoided much of the toxicity. I think in your experience, it was mostly accounts tweeting from Italy who are harassing you, actually.
Crazy. Weirdly enough. Gelato does weird things to your brain.
It does. I'm a testament to that. It's gotten, so they did this thing where any insane right winger, you know, who started their account a month ago can pay $8 and then have their tweets show up next to people whose reputation are actually on the line with what they say. So that's made Twitter kind of suck. He also announced this change where Twitter, the $8 a month club people, if they like, if they do stuff to your account, then they can shadow ban you. Like, again, so I, by the way, have almost never in the past blocked anyone. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm saying that that hasn't been my policy. But now, because of that change, I have started to block people because otherwise he is going to be giving them control over how the algorithm sees my account. So normally I would have just muted them, but now I can't do that because now he's weaponizing them against his political opponents. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is just, it's so stupid. He's, by the way, I'll end with this. I think he can't stay there 24/7 forever. For one thing, he theoretically has other jobs he's supposed to do. And for the other thing, he gets bored with stuff super fast. So he's gonna lose interest in Twitter. Somebody else will take it over. But I don't think he has any faith that that person is going to right the wrongs that he has already done and the occasional influence he's going to have. He keeps tweeting about how nobody could keep Twitter alive other than him and how it was on the fast track to bankruptcy in May. What are you talking about? Its stock price was not going down like Tesla's in May. You fired like 3/4 of the staff. It has been in a shambles since you took over, but this is such a Trumpy thing to do. Say that nobody could save it except maybe me. Fail. And when it's destroyed, say, well, it wasn't my fault. Nobody ever could have saved it. It's just pathetic. It shows no confidence whatsoever, a denial of reality. He is the literal worst.
Things anyway, weren't bad before.
Final point to you.
No, I will just underscore what you said and say that things were not bad before. Once again, the Macy's was doing fine. It did not need you to come along and ruin a decent thing.
A decent thing where you could get Levi's pretty cheap.
Honestly.
That's what you could get. Anyway, with that said, we're gonna take our first break. When we come back, we're gonna be talking a little bit about the criminal referrals that could be coming any moment, I guess. We're trying to keep track, but we'll be back in just a sec. Sounding like Francesca is going to be watching Indisputable after this.
For sure. Anyway. That's going to be so good.
I think it is going to be good. Bearing in mind that this is happening live, we're going to jump into the topic of possible criminal referrals, starting with this.
I think that the evidence is there that Donald Trump committed criminal offenses in connection with his efforts to overturn the election. And viewing it as a former prosecutor, I think there's sufficient evidence to charge the president.
Okay, so bold words from a member of the January 6th committee on the eve of those possible referrals coming out. That said, it is Adam Schiff, and he had a little bit of backtracking in the full comments. Let's go to that and see what we think.
To get a conviction now?
Well, I don't know what the Justice Department has. I do know what's in the public record. The evidence seems pretty plain to me. But I would want to see the full body of evidence if I were in the prosecutor's shoes to make a decision. But this is someone who in multiple ways tried to pressure state officials to find votes that didn't exist. This is someone who tried to interfere with a joint session, even inciting a mob to attack the Capitol. If that's not criminal, then I don't know what is.
I agree with that last point. Some of his earlier points about like, if I was a prosecutor, I'd want to see all the evidence. Haven't you? Mm-hmm. And if not, why? Why? You've been doing this for a bit, Adam Schiff. I feel like maybe there's specific evidence that you can't get. You should be as familiar with it as possible, though. Anyway, it does certainly look like any minute now, as of when we're recording this, the criminal referrals for what they say will be 3 different charges will come out. We're gonna give you Donald Trump's pre-ply to this from over the weekend, but real fast, what do you think about what Adam Schiff was saying there, Francesca?
I mean, I think that the last part concerns me actually more than anything, because he's like, well, if this is not criminal, then I don't know what is. And we're like, yeah, Trump's been getting away with a lot of stuff that we're like, can he do that? And even if he is recommended for a criminal indictment, right? Like, he could still run for president. So, I mean, we literally during the Trump era had podcasts that were called Can He Do That? And I feel like we're in a country, we are in this post-Trump era. And this is something I've been talking about. This is something that a former Office of Government Ethics, Walter Schaub, has been talking about, that we do not have the checks and balances around the executive branch that we've needed in this post-Trump era so that we can make sure that no, he cannot do that. Yes, sure, in the Constitution it says that no one should hold office who, like, you know, encourages insurrection against the United States government. Hello, civil war. But like, what's the Constitution anymore? Like, honestly, I am like, I think we need accountability. Otherwise, what the hell are we doing? And it's very scary to me that Schiff isn't like, this is the law that he broke. And I hope we hear that today. This is the law that he broke. This is how much time you could serve. And this is what I think he should get, a la him taking documents that I think we all became hip to, like, oh, thank God. Was I the only one who was like, thank God we have like rules against that? Because this whole time it's been like, oh, there he goes again. Oh, crazy. God, I wish we had a law around that.
100%. Yeah, it makes me think of, like, have you ever like wanted to start a habit like running every day?
Sure.
And like you in theory, you could just do that, but it's difficult to just do that. So some people do like a resolution, you know, a New Year's resolution to just do it. And that should be enough to get you to do it. But some people are like, well, I'm going to tell people about my resolution so that they'll make sure that I do it. Like, how many layers of just do it do we need? I think at this point, we need like something, like we have norms, we have regulations, we have laws, we have the Constitution. None of that can stop him from breaking the law. I think we need another layer on top of that. And then we need to tell like Macron to check in every once in a while on or something. We need extra layers of, no, we're serious this time. You gotta stop cooing.
Because yes, as of remind, right now, we
have to stop him.
Remind me to abide by my own constitution. Is that cool?
Maybe we can get Trump to wear one of those little bands.
Yeah.
I shall not insurrect.
And like anyway, a Live Strong bracelet, but for like not, but for democracy.
Yeah, democracy strong. I'm gonna make those. Anyway, they're talking about potentially, this is all leaks ahead of what's happening right now, but three charges. It was inspiring an insurrection, obstructing an official proceeding, and something else. So we'll see if they end up doing that. I don't know. Conspiracy to defraud. Thank you. To defraud the United States. And yeah, he did those things. He did those things. They happened. People died as a result. It was really bad. And we need to constantly remind people of that because we move on from everything.
His entire presidency has been a conspiracy to defraud. What happened on January 6th was just the natural conclusion of it. Yeah. So again, yeah, we will see if the charges come or the recommended charges. And then if anything happens.
Anything happens. Okay, we have to be brief on this, but I do want to give the Republicans a chance to respond. Coming into this week, we knew that charges, I mean, referrals, I should say, coming out of the January 6th committee are relatively likely to come. Trump was not happy about that. And so he took to his True Central website to bleat. He says, they say that the unselect committee of Democrats, misfits and thugs. Misfits and thugs are thematically very different, tonally very different. Choose a lane, buddy. Without any representation from Republicans in good standing, he told them, by the way, not to join the committee. Bear that in mind. They wanted to join, he told them not to. Is getting ready to recommend criminal charges to the highly partisan, political, and corrupt Justice Department for the peacefully and patriotically speech I made on January 6th. The speech and my actions were mild and loving, especially when compared to Democrats' wild spewing of hate. And so he also then goes on to say, Republicans and patriots all over the land must stand strong and united against the thugs and scoundrels of the Unselect Committee. It will be a dark period in American history, but with darkness comes light.
Oh God. Oh.
Look, I want to just move on from that last one, but I know who he is. Is anyone else, do you read that the same way I read that?
Of course.
It will be a dark, that that sentence is not explicit, I acknowledge. But it only makes sense if you're talking about killing the people. That's the only way it makes sense to me.
Sure, it'll be dark, but then with darkness comes light.
It's that. It's definitely political violence. It's that. It's Q. It is Christian nationalism. It is culty, right? It is, there will be sacrifices that we need to make. Things are going to be difficult. People will die. You'll need to kill them, but then there will be light. I mean, yeah. Again, it is that language of the cult that is so chilling that actually we saw become even more of a reality on January 6th. And people who are so deluded and who, again, the base that has been groomed, speaking of groomed, to believe just the most outlandish Pizzagate-like conspiracy theories. And as long as they follow this prophet, their messiah, into, I don't know, a McDonald's? Where are we going?
Yeah, expect that he's gonna be losing it all day. The Republicans, by the way, are gonna be releasing their own 100 plus page rebuttal. It's their shadow committee. Remember, they could have been on the actual committee, but they thought they were being really clever by not going onto it. Spots were offered, they didn't choose them. So anyway, they're gonna be putting out their rebuttal, focusing on the lack of security in the Capitol, which again, is a fine thing to deal with. But if I break into your house, focusing on why you didn't have extra locks seems weird when you should also kind of acknowledge that I did that thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that's a big part of it, and they constantly want to distract from that. So, by the way,
it was loving, John. I lovingly broke your window.
Patriotically broken. Charges might also be referred for Mark Meadows and possibly ethics violations for members of Congress. Hey, maybe Marge will show up. Anyway.
There's ethics in Washington?
Well, sometimes. Anyway, it's going on right now. Maybe in the aftermath, we'll have more information. But so far, we're not seeing any specifics. Okay, with that said, why don't we move on to another topic, launching into this video.
Today, for the first time in our nation's history, the United States will acknowledge its role as a colonizing force and Puerto Rico's status as an extended colony. The Puerto Rico Status Act begins a process for Boricuas to decide their own future. And in this bill, we have made historic and unprecedented gains. Never before have terms for independence and free association been so clearly defined, including ramifications for citizenship.
That is Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez responding to the fact that yes, the House did vote in favor of the Puerto Rico Status Act. That is going to set out a process, if it becomes law, that could result in Puerto Rico becoming independent, becoming a state, or becoming an associated state. So those would be obviously changes to the longstanding weird status as of right now. The vote was 232 to 191. 216 Democrats, 16 Republicans voted in favor. Every single vote against it came from Republicans for what I'm sure are deeply principled reasons. That said, the Senate still will have to consider this if it considers this. I don't consider that likely to happen. I'm assuming this is where that dies. But I do like it. I like it that this is something that in theory we could get towards. If only we had some better representatives, but what do you think, Francesca?
I mean, I think that it is a start, right? It feels like this bill is basically like, we will figure out a new status for Puerto Rico because the current one cannot hold, right? We are in a gray zone. There are perks and benefits to being an actual state. I think a lot of Puerto Ricans think that statehood is important. There will be some amount of responsibility that the United States would have in supporting Puerto Rico. Obviously, like just like DC, statehood would mean representation in Congress, which it certainly does not have right now, or the Senate, which is very, very important. And then, or the process of being independent, right? Like, which comes with its own difficulties. Puerto Ricans would lose citizenship to the United States. But again, that citizenship comes with an asterisk. You know, they, you know, in terms of voting rights, right? Like they do not get electors in the Electoral College. They can vote in primaries, however. So but I do think it's good that it leaves it in the hands of Puerto Rican people, but we will figure this out because what's going on right now is not good. And this whole like, oh, we're gonna kick you some money to sort of halfway fix your entire country's or island's electrical grid and then make a bunch of money on crypto, on some beachfront properties. Just like that whole, this whole like back playground, backyard situation is not tenable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you care about Puerto Rico or its people, there are a bunch of Republicans that would love to never ever be forced, and it's really rude of you to force them to consider either of those things.
Yeah.
By the way, I saw people in the chat were asking, is this what the people of Puerto Rico want? Look, it's obviously complex. It depends on how things are presented, how many options are presented. AOC goes in depth into how. Very rarely had the full ramifications been made clear. But the last time there was a referendum back in 2020 about being admitted as a state, that's just one of these potential paths, by the way. The yes vote was 52.5%. It was, I believe, less than half of the, or it was a little bit more than half of the registered voters actually turned out. So who knows in 2 years? And again, AOC, one of the things she liked about this act was that it's not predisposed towards one of those outcomes. It's supposed to be about actually offering up a choice. If you care about what the people there want, which hundreds of our representatives do not. And I'd like to demonstrate that actually by turning to a different speech that was given, this time by Representative Tom McClintock, by a Republican. Here's what he had to say.
Only about 20% of the population is fluent in English, which means that we would be admitting a state whose vast majority is isolated from the national political debate that is central to our democracy.
You might watch that and think, oh, Representative Tom McClintock doesn't want Puerto Rico to become a state because of the Spanish thing. Well, sure, he hates that people would speak another language, but it turns out that's just one of many reasons he desperately does not want Puerto Rico to become a state. Listen to this.
For American taxpayers, it would mean a new state that has the lowest per capita income in the country and the largest per capita debt. Its labor participation rate is 40% compared to 62% nationally. 43% of the population lives below the poverty line. Its academic performance would be the worst in the nation. So, how does it benefit America to admit a state that will be the most indebted, uneducated, poorest, and least employed state in the nation?
Well, I mean, if we take that as a given, then I think that one benefit of, if you're right about all of those metrics, is it would take some of the pressure off of Republican southern states. They would no longer be the worst in those things. Wouldn't that be nice for them? They would be shooting up the rankings all of a sudden. Anyway, look, if we want to decide who gets to be a state based on how productive and intelligent you are, we can have those conversations. That seems very weird and not really in keeping with what a democracy is supposed to be. But anyway, they don't speak English and they generally suck in every way, so we don't need to be burdened with them. That's a fine way to look at people.
Oh, it's incredible. The don't speak English thing, can we just put that aside? You can be American and not speak English. Yeah. Hello.
Louis Gohmert barely speaks English.
Oh, Marjorie, yeah,
absolutely. Marjorie knows a little bit, a dialect.
Yes, there's a very small word cloud, dirty, rainy word cloud. But look, we just had the World Cup, man. You know who was abroad? I was watching on Telemundo, you know who was abroad chanting USA, USA? Latinos. Mm-hmm. Yes, and they were giving interviews in Spanish saying, I'm super proud of the American team. Get out of here, just stop with this. And then the other part of it is, they're poor. They don't have money. This is the same as like robbing someone and then being like, ew, look, they don't have money. Oh my God, look, their pockets are super empty. 1, 2, 3. Like, you did that, bro. The United States has helped keep Puerto Rico impoverished. The United States has helped keep Puerto Rico in debt. We are the ones to thank for them. And now we're not going to take responsibility or say that, oh, you're poor, you can't be a state. No, no, this is the beginning of what real reparations, I think, could look like.
Okay, we're gonna take our second break. We come back. We're gonna be touching on what is going on over in Ukraine, and Carrie Lake just won't finish this thing. Be right back. My favorite part is how good he is when he doesn't even have to use his hands. I think that's really impressive.
Well, speaking of which, someone got a penalty because a ball accidentally hit the back of their arm, and that was called, that was ruled using your hand, even though it just like hit it by accident, and then they got a kick, right? Doesn't that seem not fair?
That's like, first of all, your head is closer to that part of your body than your hand is. Why isn't that using your head?
If it hits their head, it's totally fine. It's just, we hate arms. In football, they hate arms.
I would file a grievance and redo the vote.
Yeah.
Anyway, with that said, let's jump into something very different. We've known since the draw up of 300,000 plus new recruits in Russia that it was probably not a good sign of how the war effort was going. You had this big army that was supposed to be so capable, and now you need to bring in random people who've never held a gun. That didn't look good. The fact that almost instantly it was clear that they weren't equipping them or training them properly didn't look good. And all the evidence since then has been bad too. It's getting worse now as more of those soldiers are talking to international media. Russian commanders apparently told soldiers drafted to go to Ukraine that they would never see combat, only for them to be killed in battle shortly after. So they were trying to reassure the soldiers, okay, sure, we're not giving you equipment. You have no idea what you're doing. You're not trained for literally anything, but don't worry, you're not actually gonna be fighting. And then they instantly send them to the front and they die by the tens of thousands, just devastating. Drafted members of one particular brigade, the 155th Naval Infantry, told the New York Times that their unit consisted of factory workers, truck drivers, and a former barista, some of whom had shockingly little experience with firearms. They severely lacked food, equipment, they had no maps, no medical kits, working walkie-talkies, or even enough bullets. However, they said they were not afraid because their commanders reassured them that they wouldn't be in any actual combat. Now, how did that work out for one particular group? One drafted Russian soldier, identified only as Mikhail, told the paper about a day in October when he witnessed many of his fellow soldiers dying near the eastern Ukrainian town of Pavlivka. Out of the 60 members of his platoon, he said about 40 were killed. Only 8 escaped serious injuries. This isn't war, he said. It's the destruction of the Russian people by their own commanders.
Ugh.
Every single bit of it is needless now as it was a week ago, a month ago, 6 months ago. This feels so much like Vietnam or Iraq. We know where this is going. Russia seems to understand where this is going. The only question is, when does someone who cares more about saving face and their political aspirations finally weigh the countless needless loss of life on a daily basis more?
In some ways, it's worse than Vietnam. Like Vietnam, there was a draft, right? This is you're drafting, but they're getting paid. Like they are, it's not required that they go fight on the front line, I believe. They're being told that it won't be that bad. And arguably, I mean, the US legitimately lost Vietnam War. They were trained, there was training, there was a lot of weapons, but the Viet Cong, one, they were better. They were better trained. It was their territory. Like, I don't want, like, you know what I'm saying? This is basically like, it's just strongman buffoonery. And you see it on Twitter with Elon Musk. And then you see it with Vladimir Putin, this pig-headed, delusional idiocy of, I want Ukraine, therefore I take. And yet I have no plan. I do not care who dies in conquering Ukraine. And I don't even know how to do this. I'm not even doing this well. And so again, it's just insane to me to be like, oh, it's not really a war. We're just gonna take the capital of another country. How is that not really a war? It's not really a war. They're just being funded by the biggest military on the face of the earth, the United States. Yeah. And so I feel for the Russian soldiers and the families and everyone who's being reined into this and dying.
Yeah. Yeah, it's devastating. I see a comment from Shiva saying, so should we feel sorry for Russian soldiers or condemn them? Well, certainly if they're committing war acts, we should be condemning them. But I also feel bad for people who probably have no interest in this conflict. I feel like none of this has anything to do with those Russian people. Like this is not actually for, you can give whatever nationalistic speech you want as an oligarch. You do not care about, Putin has not lost a moment of sleep for that barista being shot in the head. Can we be clear about that? And so sure, there's plenty of things about the Russian government that I think it's clear I've had a problem with for a while. But I don't think that this war came about as a result of the Russians desperately thinking that this needs to happen and pushing for it to continue no matter how bad it is. And bear in mind, they get a very small amount of the accurate news of what's going on in Ukraine. So we have to judge them somewhat accordingly. They don't know what we know about what is happening there. Both the losses as well as the victories from their point of view, the absolutely devastating war crimes, through death, through rape, through relocating people, the genocide that is being acted out against Ukraine right now. And continues, by the way, dozens of kamikaze drones were just dispatched over the last night to take out, they're trying to effectively take out any ability for people in Ukraine to produce warmth during the winter. That's what they're trying to kill civilians by making it not habitable. And that is devastating. And I don't know how much the Russians know about that. Anyway, it's a topic that we're gonna return to. It's a devastating one. I just wanted to give you an update on the experience there. With that said, we have basically no time. So whenever we're ready, why don't we launch into this video?
And we just had such a huge movement going into election day. So to watch these evil bastards. Can I say that here? Is that all right? Steal this in broad daylight, and if they think they're going to get away with it, they messed with the wrong bitch, okay?
I guess for some people that in the absence of evidence of issues with the election, you can just swear a bunch at a fancy fundraiser or something and that'll convince them that you've been robbed. I don't find it to be convincing. The audience didn't really even seem to love it. And I want to be very clear, Carrie Lake will never be the governor, at least not from this election. But she's continuing to present herself as a victim. That is a very important thing on the right. Let's get to a little bit more of what she had to say.
And of course, I want to thank the most amazing man in my life. I know you're thinking I'm going to say my husband, but he's the second most amazing man in my life. I want to thank President Donald J. Trump and first off,
you gotta give it to her. She knows how to play this game. Just endlessly say that you've never legitimately lost an election and then metaphorically cuck your husband to Donald Trump. she knows how to get ahead, Francesca.
Oh my God. Blah. Okay, sorry. Everyone wants that. Everyone's, yes, I wanna be cucked by Donald Trump. Ugh. And the toadstool with the Yeti pubes. I'm sorry.
No.
I know. We almost got through the whole hour without me visualizing one part of Trump's body. You know what? Equal opportunity, guys. I support women in fascism. You know what I mean? I don't actually support them, but like, look, this, she's so Trumpian. Like, she is doing the Trump playbook. And it's interesting because when she says, I got to thank Donald J. Trump, there's a tone there that isn't. And that's why I'm gonna always support him in the future. But I think a lot of people on the right do thank Donald Trump for finally, again, doing the whole like mask off move with the Republican Party. You know, they had an opportunity to reach out to more people of color, to more women. And instead they were like, nope, we're gonna go full fast. You know, we've been dog whistling this whole time and we're just gonna get rid of the dog whistle. So thank you for letting me openly express my hatred of immigrants and LGBTQ+ people and women. Like, thank you for letting me be so vile and so openly disdainful of people who are not like me and people who are poor, gross. Like, that is exactly what she is doing. And so I think she's got a future. And it's definitely frightening. It is super frightening. And I wish that we'd had Democrats to put him in their place. Okay, we're done. We're done. I'm done.
We are, unfortunately. But there is more show coming up after the break. Thank you, everyone who's watching this show. The aftermath is after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.